All right, if you open your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Good to see you this morning. Are you excited? If you're a Christian today, you should be excited, amen? When you watch what's going on in the world, how can you not be excited? I mean, my soul, folks, we're getting close to the sound of the trumpet. I expect to hear it any time. You know, the preacher was teaching in Revelations, and he was talking about wormwood, and then we've got a big rock heading this way, and they're predicting, what, about 9 years? It's supposed to hit Earth, right? And they're already trying to figure out how they're going to move it, and if they can, and all that. Well, if you take the 9 years, and you take wormwood, if it's supposed to hit towards the end of the tribulation period, you take the 7 years from the 9 years, and that only leaves us 2 years, right? So we can pretty much expect sometime in the next 2 years, which is quick, to hear the sounds of the trump. Now, people say, well, I've heard that all my life. Well, that's true, but nothing fits. Nothing has ever fit like it fits today because of where we're at. We're living in the last days of the church age. So we're living in the Laodicean church age. So with all that being said, and Israel being nestled back up there in Jerusalem where it's supposed to be, and everything that's moved forward and going on, and after all, our president's what? Trump. At the last Trump, amen? Hey, so we're getting right there. I mean, hey, any day the trumpet could sound. So we as Christians ought to be excited. But then it saddens my heart because when I look at the church today, I don't see what I think I ought to see. Now, I want you to understand something before I get into the message this morning. I'm not necessarily picking on you, okay? If the shoe fits, wear it, all right? But I'm not picking on anybody. When I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the church, God's church, all over the world. You know, if we're, you know, anywhere you go, if you're born-again believers and you gather yourselves together, we call them what? A church, okay? So with that meaning, you know, keep that in mind so I'm not picking on anybody so-called individual in here, all right? So anyways, and something else. I've heard a couple of people say something towards my pastor, and I really didn't like that. So let me just say something to you. Especially out there in Radio Land. Don't talk about my pastor, okay? Now, a lot of people don't like the fact that we didn't shut down because of the COVID-19. We didn't shut down. Don't plan on shutting down. It's God's house, and like the preacher said, nobody has a right to shut it but God himself. If the trumpet sounds, the church will shut down. Amen? And that's what we're waiting on anyhow, correct? All right, until then, it's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Okay? Keep that in mind when you get ready to say something about the pastor. All righty? Okay, with that, I got that out of my system now. Isaiah 5:20-21. You're there, right? I said Timothy? That's what I meant. You stay in Timothy. I'm just going to read this verse to you. It says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Do you see that anywhere today? You see it everywhere you look, don't you? But what's God say about it? Woe unto them. Folks, keep that in mind. So when I turn the television on and I see the news and I see these fools out here burning these buildings down and everything that's going on, I think about that verse right there. You know, and if you noticed, it's okay. And something else that irritates me with this COVID-19, they don't want you in church. You know, stay separated. They're trying to keep the doors closed. They don't want you to gather. You go to a restaurant. My wife and I went out the other night, and you go in, and they got this table's closed and this table's open. This table's closed and this table's open. They got to keep you separated, okay? But the two that's open's back to back. I'm like, you know, these people are bright. You know, you can tell these are the intelligent folks here. Okay? And then this, God is my witness. I ordered a glass of ice water. And where I'm sitting, I can see the man fetching the water. He walks over and picks up a cup with his fingers inside the cup. Okay? And he's got a mask on. He's got a mask. No gloves. He didn't have gloves. But he sticks his fingers in the cup, walks over, and dips it down in the ice container and gets ice. puts water in, brings it to my table. So I politely asked him why he was wearing a mask. He said, well, you know, we have to protect people. I said, so then why did you put your fingers in my glass? I said, you wear the mask to protect you. I said, that collects the germs. Then you're touching your mask every 2 minutes so you can breathe. And then you put your hands in my cup and bring it to me. And you're protecting me. He said, oh, I didn't realize I did that. I said, yeah, you did. He said, well, I'll get you another one. I'm like, don't bother. I'll get you another one. Folks, but the world's lost its mind. You know, it's crazy. You know, they call themselves protecting you. Are they seriously protecting you? Think about that. How is that protecting you in any kind of way? They put gloves on. I see them wearing gloves. They'll take your money, put it in a cash register, and then go wait on somebody else, bring food to them. I'm like, come on, are you serious? But they're protecting you. Think about it. Let that sink in a little bit. If you're out in radio land, think about that. And you're hiding from COVID. You can't go to church because you might collect. This is the only place you can really get it. You know that, right? You go to a restaurant, like I was just talking about, they got this table open and this table closed. Outside, because you're only allowed 50% capacity, they might be open now, but you was only allowed smaller than that to start with, and then it went to 50%, and I don't know where they're at now, don't care, but you go inside, there's 5 people sitting in a restaurant, because that's all you got room for, and there's 75 people gathered at the door. And I mean, they're sitting down, gathered together, all huddled up at the door. It might even be raining, so they're all underneath the shelter, rubbing elbows. But when you get inside, we got to separate them so they can't get COVID. And, you know, folks, let me tell you something. I don't want anybody to think that I'm that ignorant, okay? Don't herd me outside like a cow and then separate me when I get inside to protect me. You know, I mean, you just feel plumb stupid. I'm like, wait a minute. Come on, folks. What are you thinking? Can't you see what they're doing? Folks, think about it. And the whole time this is going on, what are they talking about? They want to put a chip in your hand. They want to put a chip in your hand. Now, my mother, God bless her, she couldn't find her credit card or debit card, whichever one it was the other day. So I went up to the bank just to check to make sure that she still had her $12 in there. Because if somebody got your card, you know, I can take your credit card. Anybody in here, you give me your credit card, I can spend your money. Okay? Now, you write on the back of it, check ID, do anything you want to do. But please, bring me your credit card, and I'll go shopping, okay? And I can use your credit card freely. Nobody will ID me. I can sign my name on it, and they'll take it, nothing said. Absolutely nothing. Do you know why that is? Have you ever thought about why that is? See, used to, when you went in to cash a check or use a credit card, they would ID you to make sure that was your credit card. They don't care whether or not it's your credit card. They deliberately don't care whether or not it's your credit card. Now, think about that. How does that make any sense? Well, look at the time that we're living in. They're trying to bring in a new world order. They're trying to bring in a global government. So how are we going to get you to go along? Well, if your money is not safe, then you have to do something to protect it. That's one thing you will protect with two things, your cell phone and your money, right? You got to have those two things. So if your credit card is worthless, it's not safe because anybody can use it, maybe it'd be much easier to get you to take that little chip because that way nobody can get your ID. You can go shopping and nobody else can use your card. You see what I'm saying? That's what everything is pushing towards, the new world order. And by the way, if somebody took the chip last night, that doesn't mean they're going to hell because they took the mark of the beast, okay? Let's not twist things out from what the Bible's talking. So that time's not here yet, but we're close. You know, we're right on the doorstep. So just keep all those things in mind. When you look and see everything that's going on, everything is going against the church. Right now, if you're a police officer, God bless you. You know, you ought to resign, turn your stuff in, and go home. Be safe with your family. I mean, think about it. A police officer today is crook. He's wrong. No matter what he does, he's bad. And the criminal is good. I think I read something about that in the Bible. Yeah. Didn't we just read something about that? Woe unto them, as evil is good and good is evil. That's where we're at today. See, there's this Black Lives Matter movement. All this, they don't want to look at the truth of things. What is the truth? this fellow that got killed over there. Something, you know, it's not necessary, it's not right to do the things that they did. But at the same time, what is the truth? Somebody asked me the other day, you know, what do we do about it? Teach your children. See, the problem is not the police department. The problem is the crooks. And then when the crook goes to be arrested and the policeman has to do his job, all of a sudden the policeman's the bad guy. No. What did that person do to get arrested? I'm almost 60 years old. I've never been arrested. I've never had any problems with the police department. Never. Never in my life. Not one time have I ever had any problem with any policeman. You know why? My mama taught me, my daddy taught me to obey the laws. You do what you're supposed to do as a citizen. You go out there and act like a thug, they're probably going to treat you like one. Now, today, I'm not too sure. You know, today, anything goes, all right? But with that being said, now we just look at our lesson. I want to talk about the church. Is the church essential? They shut us down because the government said that we were not essential, or tried to shut us down. Thank God we got a good governor, right? But all across the country, churches were shut down because they're not essential. That's what was said. So, I told you to open your Bibles to, where did I say go to? Second Timothy. All right, Second Timothy, chapter 4. Chapter 4 in Second Timothy. Now, this is Paul is giving a charge to Timothy. He says, I charge thee. In verse 1, to chapter 4, he says, I charge thee. That means to order somebody or to tell somebody something that's critical. You're pushing them, you're urging them to do something. And that's what Paul is giving a charge to young Timothy here. He says, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Now, first thing, like I said, that's a charge. He's ordering him to do something. And who's he ordering it in front of? The Lord God himself, right? He's saying before God and before the Lord Jesus. So I would think that the charge he's making is important. So let's listen to what the charge is. He's telling him, preach the word. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Preach the word. That would be the Bible, correct? Preach the word. But today in the churches, are they preaching the word? Or are they wanting to preach something new, something exciting? You know, we sing a song around here, the old book, right? We stick to the old book. And what the preacher's all the time saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So just preach the word. That's what he's telling Timothy. Preach the word. You just preach what God's given you to preach. We don't have to preach something new. We don't have to preach something dynamic or exciting. Preach the word. There's an importance to that. Now, nowadays, in a lot of the churches, they're not worried about getting the word out. They're worried about being exciting or worried about being dynamic or worried about speaking correctly. I mean, yeah, it's nice to speak correctly. However, I don't do that all the time, right? I mean, you don't really notice it, do you? I mean, come on. What's important? What's important is what you're teaching. That's what's important. Too many times, especially nowadays, churches are worried about everything except for the word. And the word's what's important. Preach the word. Then he says to be instant in season and out of season. Now, we know that there's a season and there's a time for everything. And if you're in season, like fall to year, fall, winter, spring, summer, everything has a season. So in season would be Sunday morning. That would be in season, correct? That's a normal thing. Sunday night would be a normal thing. Wednesday night would be a normal thing. So that would be teaching and preaching in season. He's also told to teach out of season. So what would that be? That would mean maybe you had an opportunity on Monday night or Monday morning or Monday during the day. If you had an opportunity, you would preach the word. That's what he's trying to get across to Timothy here. He's telling Timothy that there's a time and a place for everything, but there's always a good time to get the word in. The word can be got in any time. It doesn't matter what time. He's telling Timothy, be ready to preach the word at any time. That's what he's saying to him. And then He tells him to reprove. What does that mean? That means to convince somebody of something. What's the preacher do up here every Sunday morning? He's up here trying to convince anybody that's lost. First of all, he's preaching the word, right? He's using God's word. He puts his own terminology on things to try to put it into a story in a way that to make you understand it, to convince you of what you are, of who you are, and there's a purpose behind that. And then he goes on, he says, to rebuke. Now, what's that mean to rebuke somebody? That's the part that we don't like as Christians. We don't like being rebuked. But that's when the preacher gets up here and he's telling you that smoking's a sin. A lot of people don't want to hear that. You know, if you're eating chicken and you've eaten four pieces of chicken and you're full and you eat the fifth one, that's a sin, right? We don't want to hear that, but that's the truth, okay? That's what the preacher does. That's what his job is. His job is to open your eyes. That doesn't mean he's perfect, okay? But his job is to open your eyes as to how you're living your life before God. That's what his job is. And that's what he does every Sunday morning. He tries to get you to open your eyes and see how you're living. So what? So you can examine your life, examine your soul, so you can understand as to whether or not you're saved or you're lost. Because before we leave Sunday morning, he's going to give an invitation, isn't he? So everything is working towards that. And that's what he's telling Timothy here. He's setting him up, but he's telling him exactly how to do it. Then he says to exhort. What's that mean? That means to lift or to comfort somebody. We're supposed to exhort one another. Now, I don't know about you, but when the preacher's preaching, and he's preaching on sin, and he's preaching hard, I might not be involved in that sin, but that lifts me. Why? Because I can thank God that I'm not in that sin. I can thank God because he's my Savior, that I'm not tangled up within that. So that's exhorting me while he's opening the eyes of somebody else. So when we put everything into retrospect, we see how everything comes together to glorify God. And isn't that what makes us essential? Now, I'm fixing to get ahead of myself, and I don't want to do that. So let's move on to verse 3. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's why it's urgent. This is why he's telling Timothy it's so urgent. This is where they're headed. Where are we at today? Where are we at right now? Where's the church at today? Most churches you go into, you don't hear the word preached because people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to be rebuked. They don't want to hear about their sins. And isn't that what that verse just said? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they're not going to hire Dr. Carter to preach in their church. They want to bring somebody in that's dynamic. Bring somebody in that's exciting. They want a young pastor that's really got it going on so they can tell you how good you are. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't teach me how good I am. The Bible teaches me how bad I am. The Bible teaches me how much I need Jesus. And that's the word, and that's the truth, and that's what he's telling Timothy. So where are we at today? Now, this is what we do today. We go to church wearing shorts and flip-flops. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's okay in their view. And why is that okay in their view? Because they're not being taught correctly. See, today the church is still belongs to the Lord Jesus. It's still his church. And we as believers should respect the fact that it belongs to God. And when we come to God's house, we should put on our best for our God, no matter who we are. But when we don't do that, then that's pride, and we're putting ourselves above God. Rock and roll music. They bring rock and roll music into the church. That's because they're not sticking to the word, are they? They want to bring the world into God's house. That's disrespectful. But they're not being taught that because they're not being taught the word. They don't know that it's wrong. This is what they do. Well, how about the song, Just As I Am? The Bible says, Just As I Am. Yes, it does. When we sing in that song, Just As I Am, yeah, come just as you are in your shorts and your flip-flops. Walk right down that altar and get down here on your face before God and accept Jesus as your Savior. Once you've accepted Christ and He moves inside of you, the light's supposed to come on. And once that light comes on, you'll take those shorts off and you'll kick those flip-flops off and you'll get dressed. You see what I'm saying? That's the importance of teaching the word. That's why Paul is charging Timothy. He's trying to tell Timothy how important it is to teach the word. But today, amongst Christians, even Christians get upset when you teach this because they don't want to hear the truth either. So let me ask you, are we essential? Because this is what we've done. We've thrown God out of the church. The governor didn't throw God out of the church, okay? When you come to church in your socks and your flip-flops and your shorts and half-dressed, you come to church, you don't have a Bible, you don't care, you come to church because you want to hear the music or rock and roll and all that. Are you coming to church to serve God as a believer? So is the church really essential to you? Because go to Revelations chapter 3. Preacher was just teaching on this not too long ago. He was just teaching on this. Look at verse 14. I'm just going to read this section to you. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." That's its author. That's the Lord Jesus. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." He's talking about the church. What God is saying is He'd rather you be cold. Why? Because if you're cold and you're dead, at least you're not doing anything to harm the cause of Christ. This is what you'll do. You'd get up in the morning. You would get dressed properly. You would go to church, put 50 cent in the offering plate when it comes by, and then you would go back home. Wouldn't see you again until maybe the next Sunday. Okay? That's a cold church. God said He would rather you be that way. Or hot. What does that mean? That means you're going to get up, you're going to get dressed just the same. You're going to come to church. You'll probably come back Sunday night. You'll probably come back Wednesday. You may even work a bus route. Or you may go out on visitation. Or you may do something with the kindergartners. Or you may work in the nursery. What's that mean? It means you may go soul winning. What's that mean? That's a hot church. That means you're on fire for God. God said He'd rather you be that way. But if you're not hot and you're not cold, then you're lukewarm. So that means you want to be a Christian, but you don't want to serve God. That's what it means. What does God say? He spew you out of His mouth. Makes Him sick to His stomach. Because see, you want to go through all the actions. You want to put on the good face and all that and everything, right? But you don't really want to serve God. This is what's happening, folks. And this is happening all across the land. People don't want to go to hell. They want to go to heaven. But they don't want to serve God. So, they'll walk the aisle thinking that they're going to get a little fire insurance. Okay? Let me tell you something. Walking that aisle and coming down here and claiming to accept Jesus don't make you saved. Okay? That don't make you saved. The Bible says what? You believe with thine heart. That's what makes you saved. When it's in here. When it's real to you. And then when it gets real to you, guess what? You'll put some action behind it. But folks, with all that being said, is the church essential? Let's read on the rest of this. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now listen to this. Listen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. Now remember, this is the church. This is the letter to the Laodicean church. Folks, they've thrown God out. God's on the outside, knocking, trying to get back in. That's where the church is at today. So with all that being said, is the church essential? And who really made the church non-essential? Did a governor do it? Or did the church do it? See, the church has taken that stand, hasn't it? The church is the one who decided that all these things are okay. The church is the one who's thrown God out. Governor didn't throw God out of the church. The people did. See, the people would rather serve self. They'd rather serve sin. They want to feed the flesh rather than feed the spirit. And in the process of doing that, they've thrown God right out of his own house. And then they gathered themselves up here every Sunday claiming to be Christians. And folks, this is something we don't really want to hear. This is something we don't really want to talk about. But it's truth. It's truth. Every one of us partake in that at some way, some point. So what do we need to do? Are we essential? What does essential mean? When we talk about we have the bare essentials, that means we have the bare minimum things to sustain life, right? So when we're talking about the church being essential, that means we need to have it to be part of our life. It's part of what sustains life. If not, it's not essential. So how can we say that the church is essential when we don't come? Or we might go once a month. I went Christmas. Okay? So is the church essential to that person? Obviously, that person doesn't need church because they're never there. They don't tithe. They don't help out. They don't do anything in the church. What is essential to them? What makes the church essential? Folks, we need God, whether we know it or not, we need God. In order to sustain life in its proper form, we need God. And that's what our preacher does up here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday. He's trying to teach us and trying to open our minds and our hearts to the true word of God, showing us who we truly are. Sinners. Saved by grace. And if you're here today and you're born again and you're saved by grace, then you need to be a servant. And the church should be essential to you. It should be something that you need to sustain life. I don't know about you, but during all this pandemic that's going on, sometimes I almost feel ashamed because I'm blessed so much. God has just poured blessing after blessing after blessing. And when I see so many people that's suffering and hurting, and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I tell my wife, I said, it's just amazing how much God continues to give. He's essential to me. I need him in my life every day. Folks, we need Jesus. But we can't keep throwing him out the door and then expecting God to continue to bless the church. How can, you know, I mean, when the governor shut the church down, some people wanted to get outraged. But the governor's not the one that brought the rock and roll music into the church house. The governor's not the one to put a homosexual in the pulpit. The church has become so corrupt that it's no different than the rest of the world. You know, right today, if you walk into the average Christian's home, you can't tell it from the average worldly person's home. They're watching the same television shows, reading the same magazines, doing the same nasty things that the rest of the world's doing. And then we think that we come to church Sunday and it makes it all good. Now, thank God that we're born again. And if you're truly saved, I thank God that when I stand before God, I'm not going to be judged for any sin. And I thank God for that. But that doesn't give us a license to steal. What did Paul say? God forbid. Are you going to continue therein in your sin? No. You change. The light comes on. The Holy Spirit moves in here. And let me tell you something. If you don't have that feeling in here, if God hadn't moved in here, then you got an issue. And you better get it right, because the trumpet's going to sound. And it's going to sound very, very soon. I believe with all my heart, most of us here today are going to see the Lord come. We're going to hear that trump of God. And we're going up out of here, and we're going quick. But folks, if you're not saved, you're not going. That's something else people don't want to preach. If you're not saved, there's only one way to heaven. That's Jesus, period. There's no other way to heaven. Everybody gets saved the same way. Everybody. You believe. You know, I have people say, well, I'm not a soul winner. Everybody's a soul winner. All you got to do is tell somebody how you got saved. That's all you got to do. How'd you get saved? If you ask somebody how'd you get saved, and they don't know, they're not saved. I promise you, they're not saved. How can you not know how you got saved? Because there's only one way. There's only one way. And that's to believe in thine heart the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? Believe that he died. Believe that he was buried. Believe that he rose again. Believe that he's alive today. And if you believe that, you're saved. That's what makes you saved. But folks, the church has gotten so far from God. Let me ask you something. Where's our young folks? Where are our young people today? They are so confused. Why? Why are they so confused? This is what we do. Now think about this. As a parent, everybody in this room that has a child, from the day that child was born to this day, the child watched you, and when you got hungry, what did you do? You ate. When you got thirsty, you drank. When you got cold, you covered up, right? When you got hot, you tried to get cool. You uncovered, right? And that's how our children learn. So every child, I haven't seen anybody walking around that don't know how to eat. They all know how to eat because it's essential. And they watched their parents eat, didn't they? So when it comes to the Word of God, why is it any different? Because, see, if our children had watched us, they would know God. And you say, well, that's not necessarily true. Go to Deuteronomy. How many minutes have we got? We got a couple minutes. Chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in where? Thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Diligently. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So when are we supposed to be talking about God? All the time. And have our children seen us do that? Like they see us eat. We don't eat all the time. But we're supposed to be talking about our Lord all the time. And if we were doing that, and our children were seeing that, it would be just like eating. It would be a natural thing to them to serve God. So folks, let me ask you something. Who made the church non-essential? It wasn't the governors. It's the people. It's God's own people. And that's the sad thing about it. But folks, that's where we're at today. So when you think about, when you hear somebody say that the church is non-essential, ask yourself why that is. See, it's our fault. So we, God's people, need to change that. We need to make it essential to us so that it will be essential to our children and to our grandchildren. And it starts with one. Let that one be you. Amen. Brother, you got to count for me. I'm out of time. Unless I go by that clock and get a few more minutes. Talk slow.